The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, October 19th, 2018. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who is freshly returned from a wonderful vacation on the Central Oregon coast with his wife, Anne. I think they just got home last night. Check out some great photos and thoughts from his trip on their Facebook page. And Bill says, and I'm talking to Dylan Smith, who is joining me in studio.
All right, what's Bill say?
Bill says they did not see a single cloud during their entire 7 days in Oregon. I don't know that that's ever happened.
Because they shipped it all down here while he was gone or something?
He was out at a good time. So Oregon is beautiful if you can catch it at the right time. The show is heard live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 p.m. right here on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. And we are live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The Friday show also re-airs on Saturday at 7 a.m. And you can find archives of past shows at buckmastershow.com. Let's take a minute to acknowledge the Buckmaster Show media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, and that was Dylan Smith you just
heard.
He's the editor and publisher of that. Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun, Inside Tucson
That's you.
Business. That's us, Tucson Weekly. And you can find all of them listed on Bill's website. In today's Friday Focus interview, we are going to be talking to Jim Small. He is the editor of Arizona Mirror, which he's going to tell us about in a minute, freshly launched enterprise. And as I said, I'm joined by Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. If you want to join the discussion, you can call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Jim Small, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Dylan.
Great to
How's
hear
it going?
From you. So you have recently launched Arizona Mirror, that is azmirror.com online, and it is terrific. It's a nonprofit independent news organization. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so it is, you know, our goal is really to cover state politics and public policy in Arizona, but try to do it in a little bit of a different way. You know, my background is in politics and public policy. I was at the Arizona Capital Times for, about 13 years, something like that. Working there, you know, we did a lot of really great in-depth coverage of what was happening at the state capitol. And I left there and I took over the Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting and was there for almost 2 years and, you know, really wanted to find an opportunity, find a way to take some of the storytelling and some of the journalism techniques that I'd learned over at AZCIR and really apply it directly to politics and public policy and be able to cover those important issues. They're issues that are important, but they're really, I think, fundamentally not interesting to a lot of people. And our goal, you know, as important as they are and as much direct effect as they have on people's lives, it's tough to get people engaged in them. And so what we really, I think our goal is to try to do is to cover public policy at the state level in something of a new way and really try to put human faces on it and try to tell stories that actually resonate with people who are otherwise consumed with their jobs and their daily lives and don't have a lot of room to follow politics the way, you know, a nerd like me might, and try to get people to understand the importance of why it matters what happens at the state capitol, why it matters who your governor is or who your state legislator is, or even, you know, who your city councilor is or who your school board representative is. Those things, you know, really do matter, and they really, those are the people who create policies that are going to affect your life in day in and day out. But unfortunately, it's, you know, it is very tough to get people interested in it, and I think a lot of that has to do with the way the media covers those issues, and in particular the way that reporters tend to talk to other people who are already paying attention.
Well,
as opposed to people who, you know, might check in on a political story once a week or once a month.
Well, that you bring up a good point about, and we've all been trying to figure this out, how do you cover the boring but important in ways that matter to people? But we're going to get into some of the stories that you guys have already covered in the first month. But there's another hurdle. Newspapers are in this fight for relevancy and, frankly, ad dollars. And you have this bright idea to launch basically a new one. I know it's not a newspaper. It's an online operation. But what were you thinking? Why would you think that this would work?
Well, you know, I think the difference between what we're doing and frankly something like what Dylan's doing and what you know, a traditional for-profit newspaper is that, you know, the business model is just fundamentally different, right? But, you know, a newspaper or a for-profit online news source is out there and they're making their money either through ad sales or through subscription costs or through other things like that, where you're effectively charging people money to get to the website one way or another. You know, as a nonprofit, our model is definitely different. I mean, we view the news as a, you know, really a fundamental public service, and something that needs to exist and is only going to happen, you know, through the support of people who feel the same, people who find value in it. And you know, in that regard, it is, you know, it's supported by, you know, foundations that have see a value in having a robust media environment in readers who see that same value. You know, we're a 501c3 entity and our, you know, we are going to live and die, I think, by the support of the public. And you know, our job is really to show, you know, that there is a public value and a public interest in the work we do. And in turn, that's going to, you know, going to lead to support both nationally and locally.
So you're taking public donations, but where are you getting the bulk of your money right now to get this thing off the ground? You have, what, four people involved, right?
Yeah, we do. We've got myself and a team of three reporters, you know, and it is right now. I mean, our startup was we were able to find some folks at the national level who were, you know, looking to fund news operations, particularly in states where there is a news, you know, something of a news desert at the state house level. And Arizona kind of fit their criteria for that. You know, I mean, we've had a very deep cuts to the number of reporters that are covering our state house. Just in the past dozen years, you know, 15 years that I've been down here, I've seen the numbers just dwindle dramatically in terms of how many people are down here. And you know, that results in a less informed public. And frankly, I think that a less informed public is, you know, is a public that then can't make the decisions it needs to in order to elect representatives and in order to determine how it wants to be governed.
You have a history
of those are fundamental problems to democracy and to our, you know, our democratic republic.
Absolutely. And you have a history of putting out some terrific work. And so I was very interested when I heard that you were involved in this. What is the Hopewell Fund and what is their involvement with you?
Yeah, the Hopewell Fund is our primary funder at the moment. They were the ones that provided us with the startup funds and have, you know, will be, you know, certainly providing us some support going forward. They are a D.C., Washington, D.C. nonprofit, 501c3, that raises, you know, in a lot of ways, basically kind of what they act as is something of like a startup incubator. And then they've, excuse me, in this instance, they're doing it in kind of the news and journalism context. And they've had a lot of other charities that they basically kind of help get off the ground and provide some initial funding for and some, you know, logistical support for in terms of helping manage a lot of, you know, the business operations and just all those startup tasks and chores that go along with opening a new entity, a new enterprise. And so that for the moment, that's kind of pretty much what their role is.
I want to ask you and Dylan, because you've both kind of been down this road, is this the future of journalism? Is this how we are going to continue to be able to fund what we're doing? Dylan, you've been doing it for almost a decade now.
Well, is it the future of journalism? I think the future of journalism is going to be in trying a whole lot of things. Certainly independent, nonprofit, online-focused news outlets have proven themselves. As you said, I've been running TucsonSentinel.com, a very local nonprofit for almost 10 years, and there are a number of other news organizations around the country that are in that range, about a decade old, that are nonprofit, mission-driven, really focused on doing the news. But that's not the entire picture of it. I think it's going to be a pretty good chunk of it. You know, there isn't enough foundation money in the world to pay every reporter that we need to get back to having a healthy diet of real news. That's not going to happen. The Sentinels run on mostly local donors and sponsors, and especially readers pitching in because they believe in what we're doing in local small business. But as opposed to getting, you know, giant checks. Not that Jim's gotten a giant check. He's gotten some help, and we've gotten some National Foundation help as well. But, you know, it's going to take a whole sort of matrix of rebuilding local news and getting away from the giant chain, purely profit-driven model that's hurt things so very much.
Jim, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with a lot of that. I mean, I think that there's no doubt that going forward, nonprofit news is going to continue to, I think, be a growing part of the media diet, the media landscape. It's certainly not a silver bullet. I don't know that there is a silver bullet. Every market is different. Local is different than regional, is different than national. There are certain things that are going to, you know, funding models that are going to work well in one and not work well in another. But, I'm utterly convinced that there is a public need to have a robust media, and that the nonprofit model and having people support that as a public charity, I mean, is 100%, I think, it's something that's going to grow going forward. It's already had a tremendous growth. I mean, Dylan can attest to that just in the 10 years since he's launched. The number of nonprofit news outlets across the country covering so many different topics, and whether they're super local like Dylan's is, or they're something that covers, you know, a sector like education or military affairs or veterans issues or healthcare, or if they're more investigative oriented or national oriented, they're all in the mix, and they're all, I think, fundamentally pursuing the same thing, which is, you know, how do we not make the same mistakes that the corporate media giants made, and how do we actually go out and tell the important stories that need to be told and that otherwise aren't being told.
And we're going to talk about some of those stories here on the other side of the break. You are listening to The Buckmaster Show, and we're talking to Jim Small. He is editor of Arizona Mirror. That's azmirror.com. We'll be right back for more of our Friday Focus interview.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays live during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owners Steve and Sherry do a lovely job with European baked goods, breads, pastries, cakes, whatever you want, and they're open for lunch right now. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. I am seated next to Dylan Smith. He is
You're
editor.
Making me hungry.
It's a great place, by the way. I am seated next to Dylan Smith, and that was him, editor, publisher, TucsonSentinel.com. And we're on the phone with Jim Small. He is editor of the newly launched Arizona Mirror. That's azmirror.com. And Jim, you used that term, the last segment, news desert. And Dylan and I were talking a little bit about a study that came out of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, about news deserts. And this has been around. This is a new version of the study, but I want to throw one stat out there, and that is 1,800 newspapers have gone under since 2004, and if I'm remembering correctly from the report, that leaves 1,300 communities without a news source, a local news source, and that's a scary number. And we were talking about, is this the future of journalism? You have already done some great work, and you guys just launched, what, mid-September, Jim?
About 3.5 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago.
Okay.
Right near the end of September. Yeah.
So I want to get into some of the work to give people a flavor of this. And again, it's azmirror.com. That's Arizona Mirror. Tell me about Homie.
Yeah.
Great story.
I don't know if you guys have seen these signs, if you guys have this thing popping up down in Pima County, but one of the things that we have going on up here is these teal, kind of like tealish green campaign signs have popped up on corners all across Phoenix. And all they say on them is basically, vote for Homie for significant change. And there's a website on it. And it says, you know, the website is that basically implies that this, the person is running for a Senate seat. And it's unclear whether it's the state Senate or U.S. Senate. But they cause confusion. I think everyone paying attention to campaign signs drove around was like, what in the world are these? I've never heard of this person. You know, I pay attention to legislative races. Who could this possibly be? Well, it turns out it's not a person. It is actually a company, a company that wants to sell your house, basically. I think they pitched themselves as something akin to, like, no, it's trite to say, but Uber for real estate. So you could sell your house in a way that doesn't involve a real estate agent. You know, it's a real estate broker. My guess is it's a company whose business model is come in, give someone cash for their house, underpay them significantly, and then the company owns the house, so they can sell it and show it and do whatever they want to.
So this is like a new take on the "we buy houses" signs that you see stapled to telephone poles. And
yeah, I think it's a new take on the open door model. Really, yeah. I mean, is fundamentally what it is. And so they put up these signs that are, I mean, they're not for a candidate. There's no campaign committee. There's nothing going on here. These signs are blatantly illegal.
Yes.
You know, they've been confusing the voters. And so we, you know, Jeremy Duda, my associate editor, you know, dug into what exactly was going on here, into a lot of the corporate records, you know, and turned up the fact that, you know, this is just a company that's basically trying to piggyback on the election to get some free advertising, but to get some exposure with some signs that are illegal but blend into a lot of other campaign signs, and so are probably not going to be taken down by city code officials. Even though they are definitely, I mean, there's no legal leg for these things to stand on. I mean,
but the transportation worker driving around is not going to like take the initiative to start pulling these things up, right?
Probably not. I mean, they might now. They've gotten some media attention, so I'm not quite sure how.
Which is what they were looking for in the first place.
Well, which is.
So it worked.
A double-edged sword, right? You know, so certainly our story was, you know, in the blog post we wrote on it was effectively, you know, look, these things are a scam. Suckered into this. Don't give these people any, you know, any attention, and just know that these things are illegal. And my hope is certainly that city code enforcement is going to go out there and start pulling these things.
So it's like clickbait on the roadside there. So
kind of, but it's a weird strategy, right? Because I don't know how many of you guys have run into people who say, "God, I really love campaign season because I love seeing all the everywhere. They just brighten up the intersection."
Yeah, they're awesome. And so accurate. Yeah.
Yeah, so. And so it's kind of a weird, you know. I get that the signs get to stay up because they blend in with the other things that are out there, but the things they're blending in with are things that people generally, I think, dislike and complain about. So it's kind of an odd way to promote your business is to say, "Hey, look, we're doing that thing that you hate everyone else for doing."
And your site, you've got a lot of topics: education, immigration, politics, law, government investigations, things like that. But you're also doing some commentary, and you just wrote a piece, and the headline is "Do Latinos Make Arizona Worse? Conservatives and Republicans Think So." So now you are walking this fine line between you're the news guy and you are the opinions guy. And I do that, by the way. I'm still uncomfortable with it, but it has to be done because you need both.
You know what hat you're wearing when you're doing it, though.
Oh, I do, but it is, you and I were talking off the air about how trust is everything.
Yeah.
With if you don't have their trust, and it took me a while to build the trust to do that. But you guys are, Jim, right out of the gate, you're writing commentary, and how are you deciding what you're covering, and how strong a stance are you going to take in the future? Will you guys, do you ever see yourselves endorsing propositions or candidates, anything like that?
You know, we're certainly not this time. I mean,
sure.
I don't know. We don't have an editorial board per se to really kind of weigh in on those things. It's something we might evaluate in the future. For right now, I mean, the opinion pieces are primarily going to be coming from me, and I think we'll have some other guest columnists and guest opinion writers who are going to come in either on a regular or semi-regular basis to provide some opinions. In terms of deciding what to cover, I mean, one of the great things about doing something like this is, you know, we've got full editorial independence, and you know, our job as professionals is to cover the things that we see that are important, and the stories, you know, especially the stories that are important that just aren't getting told elsewhere, and that no one else is seeing or covering. You know, in terms of the opinion side, you're right. I mean, that trust is important. You know, and how far you go with that, I think it's a challenge. For me, I mean, my 90% of, I think, the writing that I'll do will probably end up being opinion pieces as opposed to news pieces, just because of my role as editor, and I'll be the primary columnist, I guess, for lack of a better word, for our operation. You know, and then my job beyond that is going to be directing the news coverage and working with the reporters and editing their stories and getting stuff like that up. I think opinions are they're important. I think to both to help inform people. I mean, I think that if you do opinion writing right, I mean, I think it's not just blathering. I think it's you know, being able to tell a story and doing reporting, you know, within within your opinion writing.
Doing some real analysis and showing your work rather than, here's what I believe because...
Yes. And that's so important. And you have to help a community set the agenda and understand what's important to them and everything. But Jim, because of your expertise, I want to throw one last question at you. Size up for us the McSally Cinema Senate race.
Boy, it's going to be, I think this one's going to be a tight one. You know, cinema has had the early advantage, I think, in this race. And I think for the most part, most polling we've seen recently shows that she still has an advantage, but it's definitely tightening. You know, I mean, I think she's had the last couple of weeks in particular have been rough on her. I mean, I think the Republicans had some dirt on her and some, you know, in particular, these videos of her saying things about Arizona that they're editing in a way to make it look much worse than it is in terms of her opinions about her state and about the people who lead her state or led her state back in 2010 and 2011 when she was in the legislature. But that being said, you know, I don't know that the cinema campaign has responded as gracefully as it could have on that. You know, they had one debate. People I talked to from across the political spectrum were all over the board as to who they thought did better in that debate. I don't know if there was any clear winner coming out of that debate. You know,
they were playing to different audiences completely in that debate, weren't they? That was my take.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I talked to Republicans who thought McSally did great and others who thought she did poorly, and same thing with you know, liberals. There were people who thought that Kirsten did an awful job, and other people who thought she did a really good job and presented her message and her stance really well. So I mean, I think that debate probably ended up being a wash. I don't know that it really is going to ultimately influence a whole lot of people. So it's, you know, it's this spending. It's what's happening right now, and who is able. I think at the end of the day, what's going to determine the outcome of this race is what does the turnout look like, and which, you know, does this look like a normal midterm year? If it looks like a normal midterm year, where Republicans have a 9 to 12, you know, 11 or 12 point turnout advantage, then McSally is probably going to win this race. If it looks like something more of a wave where Republicans still have an advantage, but it's maybe only 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 points, I think that's really good for Sinema, and that's something that will, you know, really buoy her chances of winning.
What do you think the effect of the Trump visit will be?
I don't know how that could possibly do anything but help Sinema. you know,
it won't fire up some of the Republican base who might be wavering a little bit in this year.
I don't. Maybe it will a little bit, but I think, you know, what we've seen with Trump in polling nationally and locally is that there's a lot of enthusiasm, both pro and con, but the enthusiasm is much stronger against him. And so, you know, if anything, I would imagine that his visit is going to, you know, push some of those maybe less enthusiastic voters in the middle, those independents, those low turnout Democratic voters, to show up and get more engaged on this. The poll numbers are generally show that Trump is underwater in Arizona, and the intensity of the dislike is far greater than the intensity of the like.
Very good. Okay, that is going to wrap it up for us for our Friday Focus interview. Jim Small is the editor of Arizona Mirror. That's at azmirror.com, a new media launch and a very good one. Jim, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me back on.
Okay, Dylan Smith is going to stick around for our Friday roundtable discussion.
You bet.
We'll be right back.
Vero
Piero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Piero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Piero Amore on the web at pieroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Piero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill, and I'm joined by Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com for the Friday Roundtable. And because they're just so good, let's give another shout-out to Mona's Danish Bakery.
Right.
If you are looking for a good lunch spot, they are serving right now. Mona's, northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. You can find a link at BuckmasterShow.com to Mona's Danish Bakery. So Bill strongly suggested he loves them. So
yes, he does.
Hey, so Dylan.
He's back, actually, from his vacation.
He's back.
May be there right now at this very moment.
Could be. I wouldn't doubt it for a second. Okay, so Dylan, you are Martha McSally, and a week ago you get a call from the President of the United States, and I'm just guessing that it was, you know, fairly recent, and he says, hey, I'm going to come out to Arizona and stump for you. Do you say yes, as she apparently did? But is this really a good thing? And Jim would certainly indicate that it is probably not the best thing for her.
You know, it's when you're dealing with a divisive figure, and certainly the president is one, that is a really hard call. When it hits to the point of Donald Trump calling you up and saying, hey, I'm going to come, then it's gone too far and it's going to happen. You know, you need to, if you don't want that to occur, you need to head that off way, way, way before
you have no
it's
choice.
That point. Because, you know, if you perturb the guy, he's going to tweet about you in perhaps not the most complimentary fashion.
Well,
but to your point about the strategy of it, you know, the Republicans are working very, very hard to turn out their base. This is a midterm election in which they're in power, and historically the president's party does not do well because the base doesn't show up. You know, midterms are generally the year of the opposition, and getting your folks to the polls becomes all important, as opposed to, you know, presidential years where you're doing more work to appeal to people in the middle, and that doesn't happen. So it may help with that. It may also really stir up some Democrats who may have been wavering otherwise. So I think if it does anything at all, it turns out the base for both sides, and that really depends on what sort of outrageous thing falls out of his mouth when he's speaking up. Where is he? Scottsdale? Phoenix?
I can't remember. Right, and he'll be there through tomorrow morning, I guess, Saturday morning. If you're listening to this on Saturday, he's still in the state. So,
But people in the middle, I don't think anyone will be swayed either way. And if you're swayed in any direction by all of this tumult of negativity, it's to throw up your hands and not take part.
And there are the two questions right there. How much of an undecided voter is there? I still would at this point say that in the major races, it's probably under 5% really do not know what they're going to do when they get to the polls.
If you're saying you don't know, you're probably not going to take the time to deal with it.
And there's that bigger question, getting people out to the polls, which Jim was saying, and you were too, that it's all about turnout this time. And so getting the people who have decided to actually go to the polls. So lots of things to look for in this midterm election. That's one of them. Blake Morlock, who writes for you, was not impressed with Nick Pearson, and he is a Republican candidate in CD3 going up against Raul Grijalva, and he had an interesting column where it's basically good luck because Raul is almost unbeatable. I have not figured out why, but the Republicans have never really been able to put up somebody against him. The last time was 2010. Ruth McClung came pretty close to knocking him off, and that was the year of the Tea Party.
Yeah.
And that's what fueled her.
And pretty close means 10 points.
Yeah, probably a little more than that. But yeah.
Which in other races would be a landslide.
Yeah, he was nervous that year, I can say that.
Yeah.
But truly, did she have a chance? Well, we saw Jesse Kelly almost beat Gabby Giffords then, and that would have been a surprise, and that one came right down to the wire. Yeah. But what's Blake's message in all this?
Blake Morlock, our What the Devil Won't Tell You columnist, points out his take that Raul Grijalva is just, firmly entrenched into the caliche. Blake wrote,
mm-hmm.
And unseating him is pretty much a suicide mission. It's probably not going to happen, and it certainly won't happen if Republicans continue to run. I can't say Nick Pearson is terrible. He's no Joe Sweeney or anything like that.
You know,
the perennial candidate who just made a complete foolish shambles out of a series of elections, but he's not a good, solid candidate, much less a great candidate, and it would take a great candidate, somebody who really knows the details and demonstrates that they are ready to step in and do the job. And in that debate, Pearson really showed that he doesn't get the details. He couldn't say any of the committees he might want to serve on. Pretty much going against the message of the Republican Party. He said that there should be a universal standard for drinking water at the federal level. And we've kind of had that since 1973.
Yeah. That's a good point in his column, too. But, I call him, in my own mind, I've never said it publicly, but the Mary Mattiea of this race. And she is a Democrat who is in the CD2 primary, who on paper looked absolutely awesome, but was not I felt like she was somewhat of a weak campaigner. And
well,
although,
I think it would be almost a mirror image, actually.
It could be.
Because Mary Mattiea has a lengthy resume, extensive experience.
Terrific.
Knows incredible details about how the federal government works, because she helped run large chunks of it.
Right.
But, yeah, she was not, the most dynamic of campaigners, certainly, and didn't catch on because of that.
Yeah, and that was unfortunate, because I really kind of thought that she was going to catch fire and really challenge Ann Kirkpatrick.
Agree with her policy statements or not, you couldn't deny that she knows a heck of a lot of details.
Absolutely. That's why I'm saying on paper, she was a pretty strong candidate. So you had an interesting story by Betty Beard, who wrote about jobs growth and basically saying Arizona is flush with jobs, more jobs than people who are moving into the state, which we're getting an awful lot of them. And this is good news for Arizona, I guess.
Well, I mean, you know, you need to have jobs. Whether those jobs are in the right places at the right wages is another story.
Right.
But we are getting close to what economists call functional full employment. The unemployment rate bump up last month. I think it was a tenth of a point. But state economists are pointing out that most people who are actively looking for a job are only on the job market for a month or 5 weeks or so and manage to find themselves a position. So there will always be people who don't have jobs. You wouldn't have a job market if there weren't people looking for work and employers looking to hire people. So you need to have a little bit of flux going on there so that the system actually works. But Arizona is growing its number of open positions and number of filled positions, actually, I should say, faster than the number of people who are moving here, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, it's definitely a good thing. You just don't want the word to get out that you can't fill the job demands. But as you were saying, where are those jobs? And
do they pay enough?
Exactly right.
And well, the fact that employers are having to search a little bit harder does put some upward pressure on wages.
And the Phoenix area, and I grew up in that area, is a lot more expensive than it used to be. And it really surprises me every time I go back there. I have zero desire to head back to, you know, that pile of people and heat. but it is
parking lots.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, kind of where the action is. But I wonder if it's going to lose its label as being, you know, very, very affordable, as Arizona has always been in retrospect. But of course, you compare yourself to California and the East Coast, pretty much anybody's going to look affordable.
It's dramatically affordable if you're comparing yourself to coastal California.
But it's getting up there, and so that's a little bit of a surprise. I want to take us down to Amado now. And about an hour ago, I talked to Chuck Huckleberry, the county administrator, and they're still a little befuddled and maybe a little surprised at the lack of response from ADOT, who has the responsibility of cleaning out under bridges. And we're talking specifically about the Soapery Wash Bridge. And on September 2nd, that was Labor Day weekend, we had a huge amount of rain down in that area. It comes roaring down the wash, and it hits a 10-foot wall under the Soapery Wash Bridge, which was supposed to be cleared and is ADOT's responsibility.
So this is all the debris, the tree limbs, and stuff that's piled up there over the years?
Right, and it is, it's really hard-packed dirt, and there's actually a tree growing out of it, which tells me that, and there's one person
in Santa Cruz. It's been a while?
Person in Santa Cruz County said he thinks it's been 19 years, because that's how long he's been on the job, and he's never seen it cleared out. So we're going after ADOT and saying, what's going on here? Why wasn't this cleared out? Now, I want to be clear that, number one, this was an almost unprecedented rainfall down there in the short amount of time. And so it was the rainfall that was the true culprit. But the fact is, the wash is designed to do certain things, and there was an awful lot of dirt built up there. So ADOT has, to this point, not taken responsibility. We've been hammering their communications team. We're done with that because they are, it's very clear that this has gone to the legal department and that it is above their pay grade. And we'll see how ADOT responds to this. But we have a couple of business owners down there who are really suffering as a result. The Cow Palace, which is a 98-year-old historic restaurant in that area, may not reopen. No decision yet. It has not been condemned. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it is
being hit really hard.
Hit hard, and they still haven't worked out the insurance, and who knows whether anything from the state might help out. And I'm talking in terms of some sort of deal with ADOT, and I don't know how quickly ADOT moves, but being the bureaucracy of a state agency, probably not real fast.
So if you look at the number of people whose job it is to inspect bridges and keep track of these things, there are precious few running around this very large state. And even though we don't have a lot of flowing rivers here, we do have a whole lot of bridges.
And you would hope that at least once every 19 years someone could get over there and say,
give
hey,
a quick look.
Maybe we could clean this out. So we'll see. Actually, this is what happened. So we're still asking questions and looking for requesting records. And being a public agency, they have to give them up. But a lot of times they'll drag their feet. So we'll see actually what happens. And I want to contrast this with Freeport-McMoRan, which is the mine down on the edge of Green Valley. There were a couple of dust events a couple weeks ago, and they sending clouds of dust over the community and into homes. And they immediately acknowledged that it was their responsibility and their failure to do what they were supposed to do to keep the mine tailings where on their own property, which is what the law says. And they have responded valiantly and gone in, and they're cleaning homes, and they're inside and out, by the way, and making it right. So it's very interesting. You have these two huge entities, and one responds one way and one responds the other. Of course, with Freeport, we had hundreds and hundreds of pictures of dust coming off the mine, and it was a little hard to ignore. So,
well, and that's a company that's subject to regulation by the feds and by the state, and they're a little bit more of a lever to push on to get them to respond if they don't trouble themselves to. Whereas a state agency, who do you push except for you as a journalist serving the public by pushing them?
Well, and let's go back to this news desert thing. It's real interesting. We have a reader advisory board at our newspaper, and we met on Wednesday, and we were talking about this. No one else is doing this story. You've done stories where no one else is doing the story. And when you lose news entities, and I understand people get upset with us sometimes. They say nasty things to us. They make accusations. But a community is always poorer without a strong media representation in the community, because it does hold people accountable, and it is, as we like to say in Green Valley, and I've said it many times on the radio, we are the town square for our readers. So it's where we kind of hash things out. So we have got just about a minute left, and we've got Matthew on the line. Matthew.
Oh, a great show, first of all, on just the state of, the whole situation with media and profit versus nonprofit and all the rest of that. Real quickly on this issue, we have so few disasters here in Arizona versus Florida or Texas or wherever.
That's why I love living here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is why obviously earthquakes around the country, around, California. But I once challenged the county when we had that big flood a while back, a couple years ago, that basically did cause significant damage for a lot of people around Tucson with freezing pipes and things like that. And $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, that's a lot of money for some people here in Tucson. And I kept challenging the county, like, why don't you file for federal emergency management assistance? Why aren't we filing for some federal money to help us out? And I got a big, well, it's not a lot of money. You know what I mean? I'm not saying, I can barely remember the subject, but this one's not a lot of money. But we need to occasionally turn to the federal government and say, hey, we want our fair share back here, too. I mean, and that's a county-state responsibility to make those requests, And I'm just saying.
Great point.
$5,000 for here in Tucson or Southern Arizona or a small business is a big difference, in operating. Anyway, thanks, guys. Bye.
Absolutely. Thank you, Matthew. That is going to wind it up for our Friday roundtable. I want to thank Dylan Smith for being here. It was a good show. Jim?
Pretty good. Can I say something real quick?
Absolutely.
Something I meant to try and slip into the first half hour.
But sure.
When we talk about news deserts especially, it's not just communities that don't have publications. It's the just terrible loss we've seen in real professional reporters.
Absolutely.
Everywhere. Just here in Tucson,
absolutely,
there are a couple hundred fewer reporters on the job watchdogging than there were a decade ago. Across the state, there are thousands of fewer journalists doing that job of making sure that our bureaucrats and elected officials and corporations are doing the right thing. And that is not healthy for our community, for our state, for our country.
And this report that we referred to has a section on ghost media, which are things that used to be good newspapers that have now basically become shoppers. And so it's a great report put up by the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, News Deserts. You can find it easily online. We are going to be right back with a little help planning your weekend from Matt Russell.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
It is now time for Weekend Watch, the best way to plan your next couple of days. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do in Silver City and Grant County, like exploring historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do, great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Matt Russell, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy Friday, Dan Scherer.
Oh, Friday. You know what it means. Just one more day in the work week for journalists. We do take Sunday off, but you really think that I go home and just do nothing? on Saturdays.
Let the record be clear.
I don't take Sunday off.
Yeah, yeah. Dylan and I don't. We now don't like you officially. So, and all you do is eat all week anyway. So, and write about food. I was telling Dylan off the air. I said, you know what? I am so, as we have said, fine dining for me is the number 7 at McDonald's. And so I.
Sandwich at your desk.
So I learn something every time you open your mouth. So what do you got going?
Well, you know, my dad's side of the family hails from Buffalo, New York, and I have been eating chicken wings since before they were a thing, which is why I am so excited to report that a new flock of wings has landed at Mulligan's on Golf Links in Harrison, 25 varieties in all, and there's all the standards that you can imagine, but I go right to the spicy side of the menu, and the Reaper wing is Exhibit A. Dan, check it out. The sauce is made from the Carolina Reaper pepper. Now, to put things in perspective, the heat of a chili is measured in Scoville units, and the jalapeno pepper is about 2,500 Scoville units. The Scoville unit measurement for the Carolina Reaper is 2.2 million units. It's the hottest pepper in the world. Beware, this is not for beginners, but there are 24 others to choose from.
Ambulances are standing by.
Excellent. Okay, and move on to Maynard's. What's this?
Yeah, fall is one of my favorite seasons from a culinary perspective, and the new fall menu at Maynard's is officially been revealed. Iron Chef Brian Smith is kind of celebrating the season at the center of the plate, a butternut squash risotto with a goat cheese mousse, and a quail with a savory cornbread chorizo stuffing and a sweet date jam. You know, you can't find good date jam these days, guys. You'll find the favorites and
really
flavors
good.
Of fall at Maynard's on the historic east end of downtown Tucson.
And who knew Marana had so much to offer? We got about 15 seconds here.
Yeah, the Marana Gastronomy Tour. You're going to be guided through Marana's 4,000 years of agricultural history. It's Sunday, beginning at 12:30. All the information, graylinearizona.com.
Great. Thank you, Matt Russell. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show, which is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team here at KVOI, including producer engineer Tom Fairbanks, who has been with us today. I am Dan Shear, wishing you an absolutely fantastic weekend, even if you have to work.